DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number one of the midday show with Andy and Randy, brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. NFL no huddle just about 20 minutes away from right now. We'll get back into the Monday night game from last night. Start turning the page to week two as well. Like Randy said, week one ends. Week two starts Thursday.
Yeah, man.
With a good game.
Yeah, man.
A good game. So we'll get to that. And there was a trade yesterday for a running back whose name you know. So we'll get to that and get you caught up on everything. Some college football coming up at 12:20 as well.
Before we get to Mike, shout out, because always got to give our shout out to Atlanta Dreams. Big win last night. Obviously, that went, I think, sole number two seed right now. So shout out to those ladies. Ryan Howard, another great game, man.
She went off over the weekend, too, by the way. Did you see that? She had like 37 in the win that they had over the weekend.
Yeah, man. And we talk about the other teams in front of them. Atlanta a problem, bro.
No, they are. Yeah.
Atlanta a whole bag of problems.
I agree. It's going to be really fun to see what they can do in the playoffs this year. As they, you know, they revamp the team and added some big pieces and all that. And,
first time head coach's best record ever for which is awesome right there, man. So,
every win they get sets a new franchise record for most wins in the season for the Atlanta Dream. So they're doing great. All right. With that, we welcome Mike Conti to the show, as we always do on Tuesdays at 11:40. Mike, how are you?
What up, Mike? Hey, guys. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Obviously, a lot of the conversation between when we took the air yesterday at 11 and now has been about Falcons' first game with the Bucks and the missed kick and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where is your mind at after the 0-1 start?
Yeah, I actually feel maybe slightly better about the Falcons than I did going into the game, which I know is a weird takeaway after a loss. But I think there were a lot of really positive things to take out of the game that I wasn't really that sure about. Penix made some huge plays down the stretch. I thought played a good game. Pitts, I think in general, played a good game. It was a relatively even game against a team that's favored to win the division. Okay, so like I look at all those things, and that tells me, you know, I don't think the Falcons are going to be awful this year. I also saw some things that make me wonder if the Falcons are going to be really good this year. I'm not sure about that. Couldn't run the ball at all. Special teams, outside of the missed field goal to end the game, special teams were horrendous.
Yep.
A lot's been made of the sack numbers not being where everyone wants. I'm not exactly sure I'm like really wound up about that, because I do think they were affecting the pocket, and Baker Mayfield's a somewhat different matchup, but they've got a lot to clean up. The late game penalties were very ill-timed.
Yes.
Rucaroro, even though I think Mayfield, as I tweeted, kind of embellished.
Mm-hmm.
When you touch the quarterback
in that situation,
you provoke a flag. So you got to be better there. But I think those are things that can be cleaned up. I don't really love their upcoming schedule and their realistic opportunities to get a couple wins before maybe we get to that Buffalo game on October 13th. I think it's going to be really, really tough. But I didn't walk out of the stadium on Sunday and think, oh, man, the Falcons, they're not going to be good this year. I don't feel that at all based on how they played on Sunday.
What's more likely? This is how I should ask the question. What's more likely, a young Wakoo kick set on Sunday or another kicker on Sunday night?
Today will be the day that determines that, because it sounds like they're bringing guys in. Youngway did beat out competition in training camp. It was one guy, not a whole bunch of guys, but he did win the job in training camp. If it were me, and it's not me, and I don't make the decisions, and they don't listen to me, I'd be moving on.
Yeah.
That's
what we said yesterday.
You can't trust him in a clutch situation anymore. Right. This isn't a one-time blip. People were calling for his job after the Saints game last year. I thought that was premature. But now there's been added evidence since that. That was, I think, what, Thanksgiving weekend last year or thereabouts, maybe even before. There has been increasing evidence since that he doesn't have it anymore. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that he was trying to make an explanation yesterday. I do appreciate the fact that he met with the media. That's a good thing. I don't understand why you're admitting to changing your mechanics based on the turf, and it's your home stadium.
Right.
Like, what? What are we talking about?
Maybe the soccer with you know the soccer. Whatever. That's the first thing I said. I was like, man, you went too deep.
He went too deep into it.
Whatever.
He shouldn't have explained it that deeply.
Here's what I would ask everyone listening to us right now who watched the game on Sunday when they brought Koo out. For that final play of regulation, how many of you listening thought, yeah, he's going to make this?
I know I didn't.
No.
I didn't.
Most did.
I know I didn't.
You know? And the problem is, that is a routine field goal.
Exactly.
A 44-yard field goal indoors with a perfect snap and a perfect hold is a routine field goal.
Yep.
It is inexcusable to miss it.
Right.
But the fact that I think if we're all being honest with ourselves, we were not expecting him to make that routine field goal. Look, and it's a tough job. I get it, but it is your only job. Mm-hmm. It's just it's not acceptable. And I don't want it to sound like all of us are blaming the loss solely on Koo. But how many games in the NFL come down to a kick?
A ton.
I mean, Arch had the stat yesterday. The Falcons were in 13 one-score games last season and again on Sunday, and they've only won six of them. So you don't have the luxury, if you're the Falcons, to carry a kicker who's unreliable like this and expect that the result's going to be any different.
This is from Tom Pelissero 5 minutes ago. The Falcons are signing kicker Parker Romo to the practice squad, per source, after Younghoe Koo's critical miss Sunday. Raheem Morris said they'd bring in competition. It'll be Romo, who was 11 for 12 on field goals in four games last season with Minnesota.
Okay. So. I mean, he's got some NFL experience. That's good. The guy I was looking at was Matt Coughlin, who was with the Memphis Showboats in the UFL, had a really good career at Michigan State, and I think made 95% of his field goals last 2 years in the UFL. I know some people have thrown Hot Rod's name out there.
Yep.
So it sounds like this is the guy. Now, if you're signing him to the practice squad, I think Lenny Krieg
He's fine.
Well, he's also on the practice squad, right?
Yes.
Yep.
But help me out, Randy. Because he's international, he doesn't take a spot, right?
Correct.
So this does not necessarily mean someone's got to go.
Right.
You know, like ordinarily you'd say, all right, they're signing a kicker to the practice squad. They already have a kicker on the practice. Boy, that's loud.
Probably my headphones.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Man, Abe's screaming at me.
I know. I really my headphones.
That's good. Ordinarily, if you're signing someone to the practice squad and someone in that position is already on the practice squad, you say someone's got to go.
Especially with his kickers. Like, if it was another offensive lineman on the practice squad, they'll probably keep another one. But because it's a kicker, you would automatically think, well, you got one. But because of the international spot, they're squared away on that.
Well, so here's kind of what happened this morning. They had four kickers in there to try out. Parker Romo, one of them. He's the guy they signed. They also had Zane Gonzalez, Michael Badgley, and Ben Sauls. I think Ben Sauls was the guy
we saw.
A listener sent us a picture of him at the airport yesterday.
Okay, good.
So shout out to
nice
that
job.
Listener.
Hey, good job.
Shout out for knowing who that was.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Very well done.
I was like, who the hell is this guy?
We didn't run with it because, you know. But
so they didn't call Sauls, though. They called Romo.
Yeah, they called Romo. But anyway, yeah, he was 11 for 12 last year. His long was 55, so he's got some distance. I don't know. Now him and Koo get to compete for the next couple days.
He's a Georgia kid.
Okay. Even better.
Well, so he was probably here. Yeah. You know? Yeah. He just called, hey, how fast can you get to Flowery Branch? I'll be there tomorrow at 8.
Yeah. Well, and look, I like the fact they have a guy who has NFL experience and 11 for 12 in NFL. Like, I don't want to besmirch the UFL, but I'm going to lean towards that.
Well, it's also pretty clear they don't feel like Lenny Craig's ready yet.
Yes.
Like, he's never kicked in an NFL game before.
I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want to sound like a jerk here. But Lenny Craig could not beat out Younghoe Koo in training camp.
Fair enough.
What makes you think that?
Fair enough.
Like, so many people are trying, just give it to Craig. Craig was not better than Koo in training camp.
Exactly.
What changed? Yep. Like, so Craig will have his opportunity to develop, and Randy knows kickers are kind of off to the side, and they just do their thing every day, and all they do is kick and kick and kick and kick. By the way, not Tony Romo. What's his name?
Parker
Romo. Falcons have got to be better on kickoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the spot, and then once the return is in, the coverage teams were awful.
Terrible. Yes, you look at the anatomy of how Tampa was able to take the lead, and Rook had the bad penalty, and you almost had Baker sacked, but you couldn't finish that off, and I thought the 3rd and 9 that Tampa converted was delay of game that they didn't cut. Whatever. There's a lot of things that go into the anatomy of that, but it all started with a horrendously covered kickoff. Mm-hmm. Tampa got the ball at like the 45-yard line. Yep. All they needed was one or two first downs, and they were going to be in position to score. So, got to get that part cleaned up, too.
I saw you, because a lot of us talking about the same thing. What did you think of the defense, Mike? I don't think they were horrible.
But
you were talking about
problem.
The pass rush, but overall.
No problem, really. I mean, I think, look, you don't like blowing a late lead.
Right.
Whatever. Mike Evans did not have a big day. I think you kind of held him in check. If you take Mayfield's scramble yards out, you did a pretty good job against the run. Mm-hmm. Yeah, only one sack, but I don't take PFF as gospel, but, you know, the 40% of all dropbacks created pressure, that's pretty good. Like, you get the feeling that some of those are eventually going to get home for sacks against a quarterback that might be less mobile than Baker Mayfield. I had no problem. Honestly, I was more impressed with some individuals on defense than anyone else in the game. I thought Divine Diablo,
yes,
as I tweeted really a good. Couple times, yeah. That guy might be the steal of the preseason, the steal of the offseason. What a find. Terrific. Xavier Watts, outstanding. You know, Raheem was talking about it with Arch last night. Probably should have had two interceptions last night. So good positioning by him. A couple guys really, really stood out for me defensively, and that gives me hope. Tampa's also it's a tough matchup. I mean, you did beat them twice last year, but Baker is a tough quarterback because of his mobility. You're not going to see guys like him every week. Collapsing the pocket against Baker might give you a different result than, say, collapsing the pocket against I don't know, even J.J. McCarthy. Mm-hmm. Although he showed some wheels last night, which surprised me a little.
He can move a little bit. Look, I mean, you know, the way that games are analyzed and reacted to are first and foremost based on whether or not the team won and lost.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So there's a lot of positives that are in there that as the week goes on, we can dig into and get into. The first day and hour since the game has been dedicated to the kick because that's what happened.
Yeah.
There's a story coming into the season. It went wrong week one, and now they've signed a new guy. So I understand where it is. But you go back to last year and the first win they had against Tampa. Different way of getting there, but similar game where you had to make a kick at the end to get to overtime. You got the ball first, you scored, you won. I remember doing that show the next day, and it was one of the most fun shows we've done in a while.
It's funny. Jason and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago after Atlanta United and Toronto played to a scoreless draw, and that was a dreadful game, okay, for 90 minutes. Dreadful. Boring. No one was doing anything. But Atlanta had a couple chances at the very end. They had a corner and a couple other things. They had a couple chances at the very end to steal a goal and win that game. And Jason and I were making the point, no one's going to remember how dreadful the game was if you end up getting a late game winner. Right. That's all that matters. Did you win the game and was there a little bit of excitement at the end? And it is interesting how our minds frame what we saw based on the final outcome, because I think you could make the argument, Andy, that in the two wins against Tampa last year, the Falcons may have had more flawed performances overall in those two games, but they made the plays at the end to win. They may have played a teeny bit better this past Sunday, but didn't make the play at the end to get the win. So, again, I keep coming back to this. Nothing I saw on Sunday tells me the Falcons are really going to be bad this year. Nothing tells me that. Did you have on your bingo card that the Falcons would look better than the Detroit Lions on Sunday?
No.
I sure didn't. But they absolutely did. I mean, I think you could talk to fans of the Miami Dolphins or the New York Giants or heck, even maybe the Chicago Bears, the way they blew that game last night. And I think they might gladly trade places with where the Falcons are right now. Because I think you see that there's the potential for this thing to ascend. And the biggest takeaway for me is you clearly have a quarterback.
Yes.
Clearly have a quarterback. I came into this year, I think we've all talked about this, was trying to be as, realistic as possible that Penix is still essentially a rookie because he only played limited amount last year. I came away thinking this guy is nails. We're going to be just fine with Michael Penix at quarterback. And that
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
That to me is huge. Now you just got to find a way to steal one against Minnesota or Washington,
yep,
and
no
then we'll
doubt.
Be in business. Because that's going to be really tough.
That's what Sunday is. You lose a game at home like that you could win.
Yeah,
that puts extra pressure on other games down the road, including the road game against Tampa later. Mike, we appreciate it.
Appreciate it,
Mike. Thank you. All right, first hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course, Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll come back, get to an NFL no huddle. Wrap up everything that happened in week one. Start looking forward to week two as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before.
Right. Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do
or wherever you get your podcasts.